Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Five, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Weather-wise, it's gorgeous. I gotta tell you, man. It is a day to open up those windows and enjoy a little bit. Because we've got rain moving in tomorrow. It's going to be with us, I think, all day. Tomorrow's a washout. It is fascinating. Here we are 2 years to the day, October the 7th, and the massacre, the slaughter that took place in Israel. People are still playing all sorts of political games with that. We have Virginia Democrats continuing to stand with one of the most vile, reprehensible, disgusting human beings you could ever encounter. And Jay Jones's running mate, Zala Hashmi, she gets in on the October 7th anniversary. And somehow, some way, she makes it all about her friends in Hamas. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. I'm going to share some of this with you because Senator Hashmi, who, as you know, won't appear anywhere unless it's a pre-screened audience of supporters, because she's a coward. I mean, that's what it is. She's just a coward. She released a statement on social media about the two-year anniversary of October the 7th. You want to hear it? I'll just share it with you. Let me just share it with you. I'll tell you, we got a lot of stuff happening. That whole conversion therapy case you were just hearing Charles Pyle report on as well. And you know what conversion therapy is? It's therapy. It's talk therapy. That's what it is. And to have non-mental health folks making policy that says, well, we don't like your politics. We have a political agenda on this so-called conversion therapy. We're going to bar you from doing that. And if you do it, you're going to lose some sort of a license. Now you're restricting all sorts of free speech. But what's in the best interest of that that patient? What's in the best interest of that client? What's in the best interest of that person? If that person presents to you and says, you know, I'm a guy, but I think I'm a gal. And quite frankly, I don't really want to think that way. What's going on? All right, well, let's dive into it. Let's talk about it, right? That's what therapy involves. Now, there's all sorts of other stuff. I get it. And the deeper you get into therapy, you could find, you know, you're talking about CBT and DBT and all this other stuff. But at its core, what we're talking about is people talking to other people and discussing some things. That's it. Boiled down in a nutshell. Again, we're talking about the psychology world, not the psychiatry world. Psychiatry is it's kind of like a quick fix, you know, because psychiatry involves medication. If you are in such a depressive state and we're really concerned that something's going to happen, you're going to do this, well, then there could very well be some sort of medical avenue that the psychiatrist takes so that you don't do this certain thing or so that is stopped right now. But the psychology part of it is talking. It's a lot of talking. Group session. And by the way, it doesn't even have to be licensed. It doesn't have to be fully trained in PhDs and masters. No, you could just have a group session somewhere. What do you think Alcoholics Anonymous is? What do you think any of the blank A groups are? AA, NA, FA, XYZQA. What is it? It's all talk. It's all talk therapy is what it is. And it's a person saying, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm feeling, here's what I believe, and I don't like this behavior, or I don't like this thought, or I don't want to do these things. That's what it is. So to have anyone anywhere say you can have, quote, conversion therapy, I'm sorry, so call it something else. I mean, if that's the name, it's the name that's bothering people, then call it something else. Sexual identity discussion. Gender dysphoria analysis. I don't care. Make something up. Because if, in fact, you have political agenda folks who are trying to squash it, and they have in half the states in America, apparently, there are laws against this now. How many people are injured as a result of that? Honest to goodness, how many kids would not have had to undergo chemical castration or twisted surgery to remove perfectly healthy body parts if, in fact, they had chatted with someone and they had said to them, you know, I have these feelings. I know I'm a girl, but I think I'm a boy. What do you think? Well, you should have your breasts removed immediately and start a massive regimen of testosterone. I mean, really, what could possibly go wrong? Or do you say, okay, well, let's talk about that. Let's dive into that. Why do you think that way? Well, I like doing a lot of stuff that traditionally boys do. Okay. I'm not really into dresses. I really prefer male attire, traditionally male attire. Okay. You know, I don't like long hair. I've never liked long hair, Jeff. I don't know what it is. I just really like closely cropped hair. And, you know, everybody says that's what boys do. And so I guess I must be a boy. No, I think you just might be somebody who has decided they don't really like long hair. Yeah, I don't know. I never figured out the whole braid thing, Jeff. Well, yeah, neither did I. I didn't know you had to undo braids to wash hair. I don't know anything about braids. I've never had long hair. My hair right now, I saw it in a photo today. I was out speaking at the Virginia Law Enforcement Accreditation Coalition, their annual conference at the Fredericksburg Convention Center. What a marvelous group of people, by the way. Tireless, hard workers for public safety in our Commonwealth. But ran into a buddy of mine, the deputy chief from Colonial Heights. Great guy, by the way. Which reminds me, Jerm, we're kind of overdue for a Colonial Heights Blue Friday. But anyway, so he took a photo and he posted. I thought, oh my God, wow. Man, my hair's... Now, luckily, I got a haircut coming up on Saturday. Why all the discussion about haircuts? Because again, if you're somebody who says, well, Jeff, I just don't like long hair, so that must make me a boy. No, I think what it does is it makes you a human being who doesn't like long hair for whatever the reason is. But you can't have that conversation now. It's against the law. So it'll be interesting to see what the Supreme Court says. If the Supreme say, yeah, you know what? This, quote, anti-conversion therapy stuff around the country, it really is impacting, infringing, restricting the free speech rights, that we got a problem. And I'm hoping they go in that direction. Anyway, I know, I apologize. I went off on a tangent there. But I do want to share with you what it was that Ghazala Hashmi posted today, the two-year anniversary of the slaughter of innocent Israelis. She says, on this second anniversary of the brutal murder and kidnapping of over 1,500 Israelis, we remember and mourn the tragic loss of innocent lives. Huh, well, okay, you know what? If she would have stopped there, boy, I would have been okay. I mean, look, I know who she is and what she is and what she believes and how she thinks about people like me. Believe me, that's clear. But I would have been happy if she had stopped right there. That would have been okay. It would have been acceptable. And then she goes on, she says, I most especially keep in my thoughts Hirsch Goldberg Polin, a young man who lived as a child in Richmond, and his family who have suffered grievous loss. Hirsch was kidnapped at the music festival, held as a hostage, and after 328 days of captivity, murdered. Wow. Okay. You know what? If she would have stopped there, I would have given her a thumbs up. Once again, I know who she is. I know what she is. I know what she believes, and I know what she thinks about people like me. I got it. But that would have been an excellent statement right there. It would have been. You know what would have been even better? If she would have acknowledged that just the other day, Hirsch would have celebrated his 25th birthday. Remember we mentioned that on the air the other day? He would have turned 25. Didn't have the chance, obviously, because, you know. But, hey, I would have taken that. Honest to goodness, I would have looked at that and said, oh, well, nice. Good for her. I guess she got somebody in her team now who's writing things that are somewhat acceptable. But she didn't stop there. She then went on to engage in some of the most ridiculous, disgusting, hateful sort of comments I've seen in a long time. So I'm going to share those with you in just a moment. Let me remind you about the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You can always send me stuff on the James River Air text line, and I promise you, I read it. I read all of it. Sometimes folks say, Jeff, did you read my text because you didn't read it on the air? Yeah, I read it. And no offense, just didn't make the cut. You know, sometimes they don't all pass muster. And the nasty grams, guys, if you're going to take the time to hit me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, and tell me how much you disagree, how much you hate me, blah, blah, blah. Please be creative about it. And creativity in that regard doesn't mean profanity. No, it means, because if it is a hate gram and you've spent the time to carefully craft it, I'll read it. Nothing I love more than a good hate text. Are you kidding me? This day and age, it's great. But you have to make it worth it, right? What do they say? Is the juice worth the squeeze? If the whole juice from you is, dear Jeff, I hate you, hope you die. Yeah, I'm not sharing. But if you've got something imaginative, seriously, I want that juice. 833-804-1140. 315, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 321, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. We have the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, Joe Moreno, joining us at 3:35. Looking forward to catching up with him. I want to hear about the stuff coming out of the Supreme Court, what he thinks is going to happen, what he thinks is not going to happen. He'll have all of that for us at 3:35. So let me give you the rest of this Ghazala Hashmi post. It's disturbing and it's sad, but it is who she is. Tragically, over the past 2 years, tens of thousands of civilians in Gaza have been killed in the aftermath of the Hamas terrorist attack and the Netanyahu government's indiscriminate response. Really? Ms. Hashmi? Indiscriminate? Do you know how the IDF operates? Better question. Do you care how the IDF operates? No, that would be your answer. And so that is the only way that you can describe their activities as, quote, indiscriminate. That is just completely and totally untrue. She says, I grieve for the innocent lives lost and the immense suffering endured by so many. As we mark another anniversary of the tragedies of October the 7th, I am encouraged by recent news that offers hope that a peace deal may soon be reached that will see the release of hostages and the rebuilding of the Gaza Strip. My greatest hope is that this moment will lead to an end to the violence and the beginning of a lasting peace for both Palestinians and Israelis. Ms. Hashmi, shouldn't you mention that on October the 6th of 2023, there was a ceasefire in place? Shouldn't you mention that on October the 6th, 2023, 14,000 people each and every day came from Gaza into Israel to work and earn a living? Huh? I mean, really? Aren't those important things? It's your friends, the Hamas gang, that's doing this. I mean, I'm not the one standing out there with the Hamas supporters. You are. Any Jew in Virginia who looks at Ghazala Hashmi and says, oh, yeah, she's my candidate. I'm going to tell you something. You're Meshuggah. You're crazy. You're nuts. It's insane. We honor the memory, she says. We honor the memories of all who have suffered and all who have been killed by demanding a steadfast international commitment to achieve an enduring and just peace. Hey, Ms. Hashmi, why don't you and your pals ring up the folks in Iran, ring up the folks who are the owners, the operators of Hamas, and say, maybe get your stuff together. You're not looking for a peace. Israel's already given how many opportunities for peace? Hell, they gave a piece of land over and over and over again. It's your friends, Ms. Hashmi, who are out there doing these terrible things. You are a disgrace. There's no question about that. And to put that piece of dreck out on October the 7th, you should be embarrassed. It's 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday afternoon, and yes, it is October the 7th, 2 years. It's hard to believe, but 2 years since we witnessed the savagery launched from Gaza into Israel. And as somebody who just got back from Israel a few weeks ago, let me tell you, it's still being felt. And I'll share some of my memories of that trip to Israel. I'll do that throughout the day. We've got a lot of time here. There's a lot of other stuff going.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Going on, and make no mistake about it, the comments by Jay Jones are just vile and disgusting. I don't understand how he can remain in this race. I don't know how anybody can allow him to remain in this race. This is a guy who needs a 72-hour hold somewhere so they can figure out what the hell is wrong with him. But he's still in it, and he could wind up as the Attorney General of my beloved Commonwealth. God forbid. The Supremes are back. There's stuff going on at the Supreme Court. Listen, there's a lot of legal stuff going on. And for me, there's one guy, exactly one guy that can analyze it and share those observations in a cogent way. Of course, Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, former federal prosecutor. And I'm always thrilled to welcome him here. Counselor, thank you, my friend, for being here.
Jeff, it's always a pleasure to be with you, sir.
You are very kind. Tell us what is or is not going on at the Supreme Court right now.
Well, Jeff, we're going to get some final decisions on a lot of the issues that have bubbled up since President Trump took office, mm-hmm. but at different stages of injunctions or temporary relief. Now we'll see a court that actually attacks them head on and gives us some proper decisions. So we'll hear about things like the president's authority to not spend congressionally appropriated money, right, the president's authority to fire federal employees. A lot of these questions that President Trump tried to do as part of his initiative to improve efficiency, cut down on waste, and various district judges threw up impediments. Mm-hmm. So we'll see a lot more about the definition of the power of the executive. I think that's going to be really important to understand kind of going forward, where does the president's power begin and end? And I think that's going to be, you know, really informative, not just for this president, but for presidents going forward.
Wow. Let's talk about some of the National Guard stuff, because obviously, Joe, you have served with distinction, the United States Army and the Reserve, it seems forever and ever. And that being said, you and I have had some pretty good discussions about do we or do we not want National Guard troops on the ground anywhere? And if so, how do we do it? So where are we now? Because there's a federal judge out in Portland who, if I understand it, was appointed by President Trump, who has said, I don't think you have the right to do that.
That's right. And I think this is another matter that we could see go to the Supreme Court this term. But as far as what's happening right now, so it's interesting in the decision of this Portland judge, Judge Immergut, because when I first heard that Oregon was planning on suing to block deployment of the Guard to Portland, I said, well, you know, they're part of the Ninth Circuit, just like California, and the Ninth Circuit has already allowed President Trump to do this, so it's not going to go very far. And yet the judge in Portland took sort of a different approach, and it's less a legal one, and it's more of a facts and circumstances. She's looking at the same law that President Trump invoked in Los Angeles a few months ago, and she's saying, okay, I acknowledge that the president has the power to determine whether current resources are enough to enforce federal law. And I recognize that the president has the authority to deploy the National Guard if he feels additional resources are necessary. Okay. That being said, I've looked at the facts on the ground, and I just don't agree with him. And I'm substituting my judgment for the president's. So when, you know, and this is the judge saying this, when I look at the situation, I don't think it's that bad. And I don't think the president needs the National Guard. I think the local police have it in hand. So I'm going to basically say he can't do it. It's not a crazy decision, but it's a real encroachment on the power of the commander in chief. Yeah. And it could bleed into lots of other kinds of laws, particularly in the national security space, where the law says the president has the discretion to make certain determinations, right, to use his judgment in certain cases. Mm-hmm. So the question is, do we really want district judges substituting their analysis of a situation over the president? You can see how the government could really kind of grind to a halt,
yeah,
if that's where we find ourselves.
Well, Joe, you, of course, an accomplished attorney. So tell me how, in proper legalese with respect to the court, say to the judge, who gives a crap what you think about this?
Well, I mean, so the president's, the Justice Department is going to appeal and basically say, look, this is not the kind of law that is subject to judicial review. This is within the purview of the president. It's very clear that it says it's the president's determination, and whether you agree or disagree with that determination, that's not for a judge to decide. That's for the president to decide. And so I think what's going to happen is it will wind its way now through the Ninth Circuit. It'll go to the Supreme Court. And I think what you're going to have is a Supreme Court that will be very deferential to the power of the executive, particularly when it comes to the military and national security. So much like many of these issues, I think that the president's opponents on the left are always very happy for any kind of short-term victory, anything that kind of impedes him. Yeah. But in the long run, they often lose. And I have to wonder if maybe they regret doing some of these things that give them these short-term wins, but longer-term losses.
Yeah, boy, what a great question. Joe Moreno is joining us, former federal prosecutor. You should be reading him online. He's here on a regular basis. He's doing media stuff all over the world. What about the conversion therapy case, Joe, this case out of Colorado, where we now have, what, half the states plus the District of Columbia saying, you who provide mental health counseling, you're not allowed to talk about this. because we in the political world have decided that's not something that should be spoken of. The counselor, if I understand it, a Christian counselor in front of the court says, hey, this is restricting my First Amendment rights. So where does that one go?
That's right. So this has to do with the talk therapy, basically rule that where Colorado is banning talk therapy or conversion therapy and saying, I recognize that a mental health professional can speak to a child, but we, Colorado, don't want to allow them to discuss the mental aspect of the belief that someone is not the correct gender that their body indicates that they are. And so the question is, can the state sort of reach into that patient-doctor relationship and tell the doctor what he or she can't say? And so it's one thing if the doctor is damaging someone, if the doctor is being abusive, if the doctor is encouraging someone to hurt themselves or kill themselves, of course you wouldn't want that. But now we're talking about mental health. Now we're talking about a doctor trying to get, or a psychotherapist trying to get to the bottom of why a person suffers from gender dysphoria. Mm-hmm. And does the state really have the right to kind of reach in there and say, no, you can't go down that line of discussion? I don't see the Supreme Court going for that. I don't see them saying that the state can make that kind of intrusion on a therapist's First Amendment rights. Because look, if the parents of a child don't like that, then see another therapist. That's the patient's decision and the parent's decision. It's not for the state to decide.
Is that a case that, in your opinion, will be a 9-0 verdict, or will the left-wing folks on the court still side with the political folks in Colorado?
Unfortunately, I kind of feel like because the left is in such a minority on the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. I don't feel like there's much downside for them to always vote in the minority. I feel like they rather make a political statement, even though they know they're going to be not on the winning side of things.
Right.
So unfortunately, much as it would be good for the country to see more 9-0 or 8-1 or 7-2 decisions, yep. I almost as always assume that the three liberals on the court are going to rule the way they want because it wins them political points, less because they have strong legal arguments.
That is so disturbing to me. I am someone who likes to think of the court as something different, right? I mean, it is supposed to be, my sense has always been, Joe, that it's supposed to be above politics, beyond partisanship, but I guess not.
I think that hope, Jeff, it's a very noble one, but I think we lost that battle a long time ago at the district judge level. I mean, we've seen some decisions in this last year, particularly, that were just absolutely ridiculous, like laughable in terms of their judicial reasoning. The court's been a little better. At least most of the time when the liberal justices come to a decision, at least it's defensible. Might not be often the better argument in my view,
right. But
they're not ridiculous for the most part. But yeah, when you can almost always predict how a liberal justice is going to rule, then obviously politics is governing over the law, because they'll find a way to back into the legal analysis to get to the end result that they want. You see that a lot less on the conservative side. They'll surprise us sometimes, including the most famous one with, of course, Chief Justice Roberts declaring the Affordable Care Act. Obamacare, right, to be constitutional. Yep. He saved it from basically being struck down. So conservatives, they surprise us sometimes. Liberals rarely surprise us. You kind of always know how they're going to rule ahead of time.
What about this verdict? I don't know if it's fair or not, but I'm going to ask you anyway. The verdict that came down, the sentence for a guy who tried to murder, had all these plans to murder Justice Kavanaugh, traveled across the country, well-armed, had everything together, got what everybody, I think, as I read this, seems to be a pretty light sentence. And now claims also that he's somehow transgendered and that somehow becomes part of this. Was that sentence appropriate for that crime?
It seems awfully light. The idea that you would try to assassinate a Supreme Court justice and get 8 years, and the idea that the sort of the transgender aspect even takes, should have no role in this, but the idea that he got some kind of a lighter touch because he had this mental health issue is just really, you know, bizarre. I know the Justice Department has said they're going to appeal the sentence. I don't really think that's going to happen. You really can't appeal a sentence as the government that you think is too light. The same way you can't appeal a not guilty verdict. Like, that's the end of it. So they can make noise. They can say that they're upset. You could even try to change the law to make it stricter. But I think kind of, you know, we're stuck with this.
Remind everybody where they can find you, Joe, when you're not here. This is obviously the best place because you're at your absolute 110% best here. But, you know, you show up other places, you're writing for The Spectator. What's the best way for folks to follow Joe Moreno?
Definitely, it's always more fun talking Virginia, right, than anywhere else. But yep. A lot of BBC these days, a lot of the international audience is wanting to hear an American take on things. And it's surprising how taken aback sometimes they are and the things that they think are important to us. And I kind of say, yeah, that's really not in our radar, but right. You can catch me a lot on there, giving the Excellent. American take on things.
Well, you are uniquely qualified for that, my friend. Before I let you go, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to weigh in on the comments and the conduct of Jay Jones. He is he's one of your fellow attorneys. He wants to be Attorney General here in my beloved Commonwealth. He also fantasized, as you know, about putting two bullets into the head of a coworker, and he wanted that coworker's kids to die in their mother's arms. I mean, I think he's a twisted guy, but you tell me.
This would be disgusting if it came from anyone running for political office, much less a person running for attorney general. And I know I'm dating myself here, but if you recall back in the 90s, then Governor Clinton, who was running for president in 1992, had what they referred to as a sister soldier moment, where there was a popular rapper who had made some really nasty comments about murdering police officers. And Bill Clinton stood up and said, no, that's too far. This is an opportunity for Democrats to do the same thing here and say this is not acceptable, even from someone on my team. And notably, not a single Virginia or national Democrat has disavowed Jay Jones and said, no, he's gone too far. So unfortunately, in what's probably going to be a blue wave election, he's probably going to be our next attorney general.
Perish the thought, but I think there are a lot of us very concerned about that. Joe, I really, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I always appreciate you being here. I look forward to doing it again soon. I want to make sure everybody gets over and checks out Joe's website, follow Joe on social media, read what he's writing, follow him on the international stage as well. It really is wonderful to see Joe pop up on BBC and some of these other places, and he's absolutely right. You can look at some of their folks, say something, and Joe will say, no, that's not really a big thing for us, and their whole face just drops, like, really? It's not? And then Joe will say, here's something that's really big for us, and they're just flummoxed, or they don't understand, and, look, we're uniquely American. It's what makes us such a marvelous success story, and Joe Moreno is a big credit to that. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 405, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday. It is October the 7th. 2 years since Hamas slaughtered innocent people in Israel. I want to thank Congressman John McGuire, who earlier today posted on social media about this. And you know what's really, really disgusting is that there are people, and John McGuire, for some reason, is the guy who gets this a lot. Now, you know that John and I have been friends forever and ever. Long time. And I am his friend first, and then I became his constituent. You know, when he was in the House of Delegates, he wasn't my delegate. Buddy Fowler has been my delegate entire time that I've been here in Hanover, And Buddy Fowler, believe me when I tell you, very well deserving of re-election. But I digress. So I wasn't his constituent. I was his friend. And John is he's just a hard-working guy. I'm telling you that, right? Nobody outworks John McGuire in the things that he does. And then in the state Senate, he was my state senator. And then a little bit of a pivot to Congress. And I think he's doing a great job. But I bring it up, number one, thanks to him for posting on social media about October the 7th. But he has this handful of lunatics who post on all of his social media, and it's always the same, and it's always stupid memes. And there's a part of me, honest to goodness, that says, why bother posting? You know what I mean? Like, everything, I do mean everything, that John posts has the same wackos, the same crazy people coming out. And posting nasty stuff. So even on something as you would think as universally concerning, something that shouldn't really be involved with politics per se, there they are on John McGuire's page. If you're not following John on Facebook, you should. Same thing over on X. But the Facebook people are the ones that it just doesn't matter. Anytime he posts anything, there they are. It's twisted. And here it is. I'm rolling through them as we speak. Craziness. So there's a part of me, I go, you know, I should post something here. And then I'll post a little something in response. It's like, oh, my gosh. Did I just get pulled into a virtual social media cesspool? Right? There's no changing anything over there. But I do feel compelled as a friend to John McGuire, not just his constituent, but as his friend, as a longtime friend. Hey, I'm just not going to let you beat up on my friend here. That's all. Especially when the stuff you're saying is so stupid. So devoid of facts. Oh, and the other thing you'll see, as we are observing this two-year anniversary, two-year commemoration, two-year look back, I don't know, pick whatever term you want, are the anti-Semites coming out of the woodwork again? It's disgusting. It really is disgusting. See, this is the problem, is that there are two wars going on right now. There is the war that Israel is fighting against Gaza, right? No, it's the war that Israel is fighting against Hamas. Hamas has taken over Gaza. Hamas controls Gaza. But Israel's not fighting a war against Gaza or Gazans. They're fighting a war against Hamas and other Iranian proxies. But there's another war on top of that. And that's the war of those who are advocating not only the death of the West, but the death of the West, which is rooted in their deep-seated anti-Semitism. And in this day and age, unfortunately, we're seeing anti-Semitism from all sorts of people you would expect better from. I'm looking at Tucker Carlson. I honest to goodness, I don't know exactly what it is that has happened to Tucker Carlson. Candace Owens, another one. Pure, vicious Jew hater. Oh, I'm not in favor of Israel. No, you hate the Jews. No, that's not true. It is true. At least have the integrity and the courage to say it. Come out and say it. I would think more of you. I'd still think you're a degenerate dirtbag, but I would think more of you if you at least be honest about it. Oh, we're not against Jews. We're just against Zionists. Oh, okay. Well, we don't hate Judaism. We hate Zionism. Well, what is Zionism? Zionism says Jews should have a homeland. That's it. It's nothing more. Oh, it's an apartheid. No, it's not. You want to read about Zionism? Go read Theodore Herzl. It's really easy. It's really straightforward. It's not all that complicated. Look, I understand it, which means it's not that complicated. So what we are seeing exposed is pure old school Jew hatred. You know, I was on with Rich Herrera this morning on Richmond's Morning News, 7:35. If you missed it, I suggest that you go to newsradio.wrba.com and review it or download it, share it, whatever you want. But I was on with Rich, and I said to Rich, I said, I've lived this my whole life. I've dealt with Jew haters my entire flipping life. So there's nothing new here. Right? There's nothing new under the sun. Wasn't that in a book? Germ, wasn't it like, seriously, I think it was a best-selling book now that I think about it. But yeah, nothing new under the sun. Seen it, done it. Right? Isn't that the one? I got the t-shirt, the whole bit. Okay. I've seen it and I've done it. I've dealt with Jew haters my entire life. And I know the catchphrases, and I know the buzzwords, and I know the sneaky cop-out. I know all of that. Right? That's one thing you're not going to put over on me. Period. And here's something that I have observed. This is what I shared with Rich this morning. 2 years ago, as the Hamas terrorists were slaughtering Jews, slaughtering Israelis, 1,200, 1,300, whatever the exact number was, remember? Because it's just a number. Those things fade away, right? But of course, somebody did the analysis. That same number, let's call it 1,300. Let's be conservative. Others are saying more than that. But let's say, you know what? Yeah, let's say 1,300. We'll be conservative. That number, if that attack would have happened here in the United States, given our relative populations between we here in the United States and the folks in Israel, that would have been 40,000 Americans slaughtered on that day. What would we do? What do you think the answer is? What would have happened? Let's say Canada launched this attack on the United States. And they slaughtered 40,000 Americans in one day. What do you think would happen? You think the United States would sit back and go, aw, we need to get more aid for the Canadians. Anybody have more maple syrup? Oh, they love their poutine. We need more potatoes. Anybody? No. You would have gone in there and cleaned house. Because you have to defend your nation. You have to defend the integrity of your borders. You have to defend your citizens. That's what a civilized nation does. And I said to Rich, I said, you know, the world loves when the Jews are the victims. Everybody loves the Jews when the Jews are dying. Oh, isn't that too bad? Look at all those Jews that have died. It's awful. They hate us when we fight back, though. And that's what we've seen in the last 2 years. When Jews were simply victims, well, there was some sympathy from the world. When Jews were slaughtered, there was some degree of sympathy, maybe even compassion. Oh, that's too bad. But let those Jews stand up. Let a guy like Bibi Netanyahu, who has Batesim that bangs like a brass bell when the man walks, let them stand up and say, hell no, we are fighting back. Never again means something. It's not just a nifty phrase. It means something. For those of us who are determined to make sure never again is it going to happen. Never again are we going to see millions of my people marched into ovens. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. People say, well, you know, you have to choose the hill upon which you're going to die someday. Is this the hill you would die on? Yes. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Do I have any desire to depart this mortal coil today? I do not. Right? Isn't that the old complaint? Well, everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Put me in that category. I'm right there. No, I mean, I do want to get to heaven at some point, but today for me, I'm hoping it's not the day. But if I have to stand up and defend my Jewish sons and daughter, because the world loves Jews as victims, they hate us when they fight back, well, blank you. Because I'm fighting back. I am fighting back. That's why I look at this Hashmi letter. I was thinking, my God.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Well, how despicable. How absolutely despicable. All right, we got a lot of stuff. I know there's some great stuff coming in on the James River Air text line. I promise you, I want to get to it. I'm going to do that in just a moment. I swear to you, I really am. James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Yes, I will be doing all sorts of additional national media appearances all about the Jay Jones matter. I've been everywhere. Why? Because the entire nation is looking at what's happening here with this Jay Jones fantasizing about putting two bullets into the head of a co-worker. Let's stop saying Speaker of the House, blah, blah, blah. A co-worker. If you were at work today and you look at one of your co-workers, maybe you hate this co-worker. Maybe this co-worker is the one that always steals your lunch out of the fridge. You think they've done something nasty with the coffee pot. And you say out loud, man, I would love to put two bullets into the head of... Do you know, number one, you would lose your job, and rightfully so. Law enforcement would be called. There would be some sort of mental health exam. Jay Jones does exactly that. Abigail Spanberger, Ghazala Hashmi, Mark Warner, Tim Kaine, they all rally around him. There's something wrong in this picture. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 422, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I've got to share some of the texts coming in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jason in Bon Air says, Jeff, you know, pretty pathetic when a lost cat gets more news time on the local TV stations than someone running for state office who's threatening their co-workers. Yeah, I know. You think some of the local folks are closing ranks around him? Look, obviously, we've got the three locals, right? So NBC 12, we know, far left-wing operation, has been forever. Fair enough, no surprises there. ABC 6, well... Or ABC 8, rather. Let me say congratulations, Tyler Englander, who, you know, kind of regular on this program in the past. No, you know, he's gotten too big for us now. I understand. It's all right. I'm not taking it personally, but he's a good kid. He's a good reporter. And I said kid. I'm sorry. He's a good reporter. Everybody younger than me is a kid. And everybody is younger than me, so everybody's a kid. But he is. He's a good reporter. He's the one who got... the sit-down with that Jay Jones. I thought he did a pretty good job, too. I really did. I was pretty impressed with it. CBS 6, I think CBS 6 is always pretty solid. Again, if you're the home of John Burkett and Wayne Colville, you got some traction, man. You really do. Jeff, 804, says, so in the future, when I say and do bad things, all I have to do is say that I'm sorry and I'm off the hook. Yeah, that's it. And we're not saying bad things like, you know, I think we should slather good quality corned beef with mayonnaise. I mean, that's something you need to apologize for. That's not what this is. This is somebody you work with saying, I wanted to put two bullets in your head. No, I don't think you can go back and say, oh, my bad. It's a little bit more than that. A little bit more than that. In fact, I would say a lot worse than that. how the Virginia Democrats cannot do the decent thing and call for him to resign, step away from this campaign. That should tell you everything you know. And if you're voting for him, man, you're going to force a lot of people to leave the Commonwealth. That's all I'm going to say. 425, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Man, we got a lot of stuff going on. And I will tell you that the J. Jones matter is serious. It is so disturbing to see people not calling for him to leave. That's what just amazes me over and over and over again. So we got a lot more to discuss on that, I promise you that. We have a lot that we're dealing with, some great stuff coming in on that James River Air text line, including from a school resource officer analyzing what J. Jones said and what would happen if one of his students actually said the same stuff. So that is as we move forward. Our old pal, Dr. Keith Abel, is going to be here at 5:35. I am going to ask the good doctor, since it is October the 7th, how people are supposed to be dealing with that, the mental aspects of that two-year anniversary. And also, maybe the good doctor can give us a little insight from a kind of like a mental health perspective on J. Jones saying what he said. So a lot of stuff coming up straight ahead. Also, lots of rain. Just so you know, tomorrow's a total washout. If you were thinking about getting the car washed today, I'd hang on till Thursday. Hey, it is Tuesday, and I got news for you. Great stuff happens on Tuesday. It really does. Our friend Craig Peterson joins us each and every Tuesday at 4:35. And today is Tuesday, and it is 4:35. And that guy coming up right now is Craig Peterson. Craig, thank you for being here, sir.
Hey, speaking of J. Jones, isn't there a normal response that their account got hacked and they didn't tweet it? It was somebody else, or maybe it was an AI.
Right. No, he said it, but what are you going to do? Let's move on with life. Let's get a sandwich. You know, there's nothing to be seen here. Just keep moving along. Craziness. But, you raise a great point there, Craig. You're talking about AI, right? Because this is something we're seeing more and more of. And I'm looking at AI actors. There was this whole thing about AI actors, and do you really need people in Hollywood anymore? And where do we go? So your newsletter this week actually talks about how scared we should be of that viral AI actor. So fill me in, assuming it's really Craig and not some AI actor.
There you go. Yeah, people might have heard of Tilly Norwood. She's an actor, or it's an actor, I guess would be the right term. Anyways, the actor we're talking about here is completely AI generated. Now, you can go online, do some searches, and see her. She's, I would guess, 22 years old and a cute girl, great voice. And she's owned, entirely owned, by an AI company that's developed her and her persona in order to use her in the production of, as you said, movies, TV shows. And one of the beautiful things about this versus hiring a real life actor is they don't age unless you want them to. They can have any accent that you want them to have, and it doesn't cost you any money in going on and on here of paying them 10% of the gross or whatever the deal is the actor works out.
Yeah, well, if I own and operate a movie company, all kidding aside, what's the biggest pain in the rear end, right? The actors are overpaid. They're demanding. They want a piece of the front end. They want a piece of the back end. What do I get out of them? They go, they memorize their lines. They hit their marks. Maybe they do a media tour for us or for me or for you. Well, why do I need them anymore if I can do this? Honest to God, I could clear billions of dollars on a film, right?
You really could, and it's really going to be a problem for the big studios. And here's why. If you are a small guy now, you can make a movie. Now, you can go right now to a couple of different sites. Sora's one of them. Google has that site. There's some others. And you can write a few sentences describing a scene. So you can say Jeff Katz in front of an audience of 50,000 people getting applauded. applause. And
in other words, just a regular Tuesday. It's just a regular Tuesday for me, Mr. Peterson.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. So it'll make a video for you with that. And if you wanted to, you can make it sound like Jeff Katz, and you can have all of the people be screaming women like a Beatles concert back in the 60s if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So it's going to change movie making in its entirety, because now it's making it possible for an individual, frankly, to make a movie and make it in a matter of weeks. It's going to make it possible for the big production companies to have some really excellent work done. And a lot of people might not be aware of it, but for instance, some of the latest Star Wars TV series were filmed in a round room, and the room had screens. All of the walls were screened, and everything on those walls was completely created by AI. And, you know, cameras pan and they move around and things. So the camera walls now would distort based on where the camera was. So they had an actor still doing these things, but that's going to be dead within a few years. And that's what Tilly Norwood is all about. One of these AI actors that can do anything you want them to do.
Craig Peterson is joining us. Craig joins us every week. If you're not signed up for his newsletter yet, my goodness, you need to go to craigpeterson.com and get signed up. Craig, talk about the advances in some of the technology. One of the things that occurred to me as I was reading this whole thing about Tilly Norwood, and I'm thinking, we talk about our robot overlords taking over. They're coming. I want to be nice to them so they don't do something nasty to me. But I look at the advances in technology, and I keep hearing this phrase, well, that's how we've always done it, or that's just the way it's always been. I find myself saying that about certain technological things, and I'm thinking, you know what? 100 years ago, somebody just like me said, what? You know, motorized vehicles? That's crazy. That's not going to happen. Or buggy whips? No, man, it's a great industry to be in. It's always going to be around. We always think that whatever we're doing right now is it. That's as far as we can possibly get. And for millennia now, we've seen that's just not the case, is it?
No, it's not. And things are moving pretty fast. It's impossible to predict what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, or 10 years from now. We just had, in fact, a prediction that within 10 to 20 years, we'll have data centers in space. Wow. So we don't have the power problems. They can go ahead and use solar cells in order to generate the electricity 24/7, right? Without storms getting in the way. Of course, there's a lot of problems to solve before we do something like that. But, you know, who would have thought of that? Microsoft was putting data centers in the ocean underwater in order to help cool them, keep the electricity costs down. That was a failure, frankly. Wow. But we don't know exactly what's going to happen. We do know that the AI technology being used today, these large language models, is basically, at this point, at kind of a stopping point. It can't go much further. Yeah, they're going to be able to tune it. They're going to make it look more responsive. But as far as Skynet goes, and I love you guys at Skynet, but as far as Skynet goes and Arnold Schwarzenegger, he'll probably be long past his due date before we have anything like Skynet.
Wow. What about business applications? I mean, we're kind of joking. Okay, these folks can replace the overpaid actors and actresses. And, you know, The Morning Show, which is back on Apple TV, their first episode, they have this whole thing about how they're going to have AI anchors. And they're based on Jennifer Aniston, but there are 300 of them, each in the local language, mm-hmm. what have you. So it would impact that business. What about other businesses? What if I have, imagine a business. Is AI now absolutely positively going to be part of my business, whether I want it or not?
Yeah, right now it's estimated that 80% of businesses are using AI to some extent. Wow. And some businesses are using AI a lot.
I've got an article that I'm going to put into next week's newsletter that is based on a study that's looking at businesses saying, well, are jobs really being lost to AI? What's the future really look like when it comes to AI in business? Mm-hmm. And the answer to that is, well, no, they're not so much being lost to AI. But what's really happening, Jeff, is we're seeing some incredible efficiencies. Tasks that would have taken days to complete can now be done in minutes, and just automatically using an agentic process where you've got agents that are watching, doing things. And I've written some for my own business to do that and help some other people with those as well. So there's a lot of efficiencies that can come. So the jobs are changing, and I've been saying this for a long time. If you are not playing with AI right now, your job is definitely at risk. But the jobs are changing because now you have humans who are looking at the AI output, who are massaging it, who are making it better for their business application. So that's how the jobs are changing. Just like, you know, the Teamsters who used to drive horses on, big carriages and things. Actually, they're still around, aren't they? But the horses aren't. But when we're talking about you and your job, like even your job, Jeff, you're not going to be replaced anytime soon by Jennifer Aniston. What's going to happen is you're going to use AI to help you find the best stories to talk about, to be able to do some research that you couldn't do before. You couldn't afford the staff to do before. Right. Now, it's going to get better as time goes on and give you better answers and hallucinate, yes. Less, I should say. Yeah. But it's just changing the whole business environment.
And you're totally convinced, you're 110% sure, I can't get Jennifer Aniston to be involved in the show. Have you really analyzed and researched that, Mr. Peterson?
Well, we could probably get an AI that looks and sounds like her. But I, what I found is most of those actors kind of get upset when you see older like this.
There's
going to be pushback. This week, I've been trying to help people and disposers that are trying to break in. Yep. And I've got to let everybody know that starting tomorrow, I'm doing a whole series this month on phishing. And people are losing a lot of money. It's getting hosed right out of them. Businesses, I've got some clients I picked up because their business had their operating accounts empty. So I want to stop that. So you're doing free webinars training this month, but you got to be on the email list to find out about it at craigpeterson.com. But this is, again, another part of what we're trying to do to help. And I promised you I'd start doing some webinars. Yeah. And people have held my feet to the fire.
Okay, well, good. No, that's good. I wanted to get signed up for those. So what is the best way? We have to get signed up at craigpeterson.com. Now, you know I already am, so I get the newsletter. Is there going to be a link? Is there going to be, hey, register here? What should I look for?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, the email that went out this afternoon, if you subscribed already, not only talks about Tilly Norwood, et cetera, but at the bottom, it's got, you can click right there and grab your spot for the first session here on phishing. Okay. You're right there, that link, follow up. And if you sign up at craigpeterson.com today, we'll try and make sure we send you an invite directly so that you have that at the bottom of the email. It's quick to check.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to make sure everybody gets signed up. You're so good on the air, but of course it's limited and you don't get that interaction necessarily. So I want to make sure everybody goes to these webinars. There's just so much great information you provide and entertaining. And as you know, I really do appreciate you making time for us every week, sir.
All right. Glad to be here, Jeff.
Thank you. That is Craig Peterson. Make sure you're signing up for that newsletter, craigpeterson.com, craigpeterson.com. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon, October the 7th. Lots that you and I are dealing with. I want to share with you a couple of comments coming in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, isn't it ironic that the Virginia Democrats, which constantly call for gun control, support a Virginia Democrat who's fantasizing about shooting someone he doesn't agree with? Yeah. John from Chesterfield. Hey, Jeff, thank you for how you handle the godless hate that is out there. Well, trying. Goes on to someone else is saying here, Jeff, imagine what Jay Jones is going to do with power. I am a homeschool dad who's pro-life and pro-Second Amendment. He's going to come after me full force, even though I don't want anybody dead. That's true. That's exactly what is going to happen. 434 says, Jeff, for those who proclaim to be Christian but don't support Israel, you need to take another look at yourself. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. It's a very, very important note there. I mentioned the school resource officer. And remember, please, that Jay Jones is on the record as saying we need to remove school resource officers from schools. So here's what this SRO says. He says, Jeff, as an SRO, if a student had said what Jay Jones had said, they would be suspended. The SRO would be notified, a report taken, and then the local Commonwealth's attorney would be contacted and the student would be charged, even if the student said it out of anger or joking. Where are the Democrats now? Remember, Jay Jones wants to get rid of SROs. Jay Jones is wrong on everything. I mean, he really is, policy-wise. But above and beyond the wrong attitude on policy, he's clearly just a bad guy. I think he's an evil dude. I don't think that you say you want to put two bullets into the head of one of your coworkers and then get to resume your regularly scheduled activities. You're a bad guy. And you shouldn't get any closer to the Attorney General's office than maybe a guided tour at some point. 456, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. We took the numbers from Israel and applied them here in the United States, where you had 1,300 Israelis slaughtered. That would equate to 40,000 Americans. We're rounding the numbers out, but think of that, 40,000 Americans. What was our response to September the 11th, 2001? Pretty substantial, wasn't it? Number of deaths that day, the number of murders, what, 3,000, 4,000? What would we do if we had 40,000 people slaughtered in a day? I'd imagine there'd be a response. Interesting to hear Tiny Tim Kaine say that he's known Jay Jones for 25 years. Jay Jones is 36 years old, isn't he? So he's known him since he was 11. Now, it's possible because Jay Jones comes from a very political family. Both of his parents are judges, were judges. And he's always been groomed for some sort of a left-wing political career. That's been the career path for him. So maybe Tim Kaine really has known him for 25 years, but it just seems odd. What would you know about an 11-year-old's character? It just strikes me as bizarre. But again, it's Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine should, like every other decent Democrat, stand up and say, I'm calling on Jay Jones to leave this race. Doesn't reflect my values, except apparently he does. I keep reminding you that you simply need to think of your workplace when you analyze this. Don't think of the state house, right? Don't think of the House of Delegates. Don't think of all the political stuff and this guy's on one team and that guy's on the other team, blah, 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 blah. Think of your workplace. Think of people you work with, some of whom you like, some of whom you don't like. What would happen if you, in your workplace, said, I would like to put two bullets into the head of coworker A? What if you said, you know, I think it would be wonderful for coworker B's two small children to die in their mother's arms? I mean, this is sick. It's just sick. But what would happen? You would be fired, right? You would immediately lose your job. You sure as hell wouldn't get promoted. I mean, I put the question to Jeremy, right? Jerm, there are people at the Radio Factory that you like. There are people at the Radio Factory you don't like as much, or maybe you even dislike. There are people that maybe you're just agnostic on. You know, they're not good or bad. They're just there, right? I mean, it's that, and I'm pointing at that the radio factor, but it's every workplace. Every single one of us, if we're involved in any sort of a job, has a workplace, and we have contacts like that. Told you the other day, I sat down, I said, all right, let's make it an analogy for me to the radio factory. Okay, here are the people I like. Here are the people I dislike. Here are the people I don't really care about one way or the other. Oh, that's brutal, except it's honest, right? It's honest. We all have that. How many of us stay in touch with people we used to work with? Some of us do, and some of us don't. A lot of it depends on your profession. I was talking today at a conference, Virginia Law Enforcement Accreditation Coalition, holding their annual conference at the beautiful Fredericksburg Convention Center, and they asked me to be their keynote speaker this morning. I was thrilled. I still think that they wanted the other Jeff Katz, but, you know, what are you going to do? I showed up, and they got a speech for me instead. Speech, a presentation for me. But I talked about that. You know, I haven't worn a uniform. I haven't actively been out there working as a cop in decades, but I am still friends with the guys I worked with. And no offense to women who are on the job, but when I came out of the academy, fundamentally, everybody was a guy. So I'm still friendly with those guys. Some of them are dying off. They're older than I was, but, you know, I'm still friendly with them. I've worked at a bunch of radio stations over the years. I've stayed in touch with some people and other people I haven't. There's no good, bad, or it just is what it is, right? I've never once said, you know, I'd like to put two bullets into the head of that coworker. Ever. I'm willing to bet you haven't said that. Because no decent person says that. That's why. Even if you took a step further, went, man, I hate so-and-so over in shipping or receiving, or I don't know, pick a department in your company. Oh, I hate them. Man, they're terrible. They stole my lunch. Man, I hope they die. It's a terrible thing to say. But you could probably be excused for that. And you go, well, you know, I was just really, okay. But did you sit back and say, well, let me do a little game theory on this. Let me put that worker, that co-worker I don't like, let me put him out there with Adolf Hitler and Pol Pot, and I only got two bullets. That is sick. Do you ever look at any of your co-workers and say, boy, I hope your kids die in your arms. That's what you deserve. It's awful. It's just awful. It's just absolutely disgusting. That's why I keep saying, maybe it's a pain, but I'm telling you, I feel like I'm lecturing here a little bit, but look at it in the context of your workplace to fully understand how depraved Jay Jones is. This is one sick dude. Anybody who's a conservative going to feel comfortable if, God forbid, he's the attorney general? I know I won't. I know now that if he were to be the attorney general, my life would not be valued by him. He doesn't care about people who have differing opinions. In fact, he wants us dead, apparently. He should never, ever, ever be elected to anything. It's just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. All right. A lot of other things that I want to share. This is a beautiful text coming in on the James River Air text line, and it is so inappropriate, but it's really beautiful. So I just wanted to share it with you. 413 says, Jeff, you display great character in expressing yourself. I just wanted you to know I worship a Jew, Jesus, and you are not alone. There are many of us who agree with you and support you. The world is truly a better place because of you. May God bless you and your family. Well, thank you, 413. I mean, that is far above anything that I am worthy of, but I do appreciate him. It's very kind, very, very kind, far too kind, but I thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, I was able to track down an English language version of Hatikva, and we're going to share that in a couple of moments. We've got some really great audio today that my friend Jeremy, who I do believe doesn't hate anybody, right? I mean, everybody you work with, you love. That's what I heard. That's what I heard. He did pull a lot of really good stuff. So I do want us to get to some of it. Now, some of it is so funny. It is Rosie O'Donnell. Anybody remember her? Rosie O'Donnell is asking the Irish for citizenship. She wants to become an Irish citizen. Apparently, she wants to give up her American citizenship. And I'm thinking, well, good. Cut number five.
And I'm here in Ireland, and it's beautiful and warm, not physically. It's actually quite cold. Moved here on January 15th, and it's been pretty wonderful, I have to say. The people are so loving and so kind, so welcoming, and I'm very grateful. I'm in the process of getting my Irish citizenship, as I have Irish grandparents, and that's what's going on, and that's where I've been and what I've been doing. And although I was never someone who thought I would move to another country, that's what I decided would be the best for myself and my 12-year-old child. And here we are. Here we are. I miss my other kids. I miss my friends. I miss many things about life there at home. And I'm trying to find a home here in this beautiful country. And when, you know, it is safe for all citizens to have equal rights there in America, that's when we will consider coming back.
Do me a favor there, Rosie. Don't rush, okay? We are just fine. In fact, I had to be reminded that you left. And then when I was reminded by the White House that you had left, a big smile broke out on my face. And now that we hear you're staying there even longer, congratulations. We wish you the best of luck getting that Irish citizenship. Seriously. Seriously. Good luck. Stay right where you are. You are doing amazing work for America by remaining in Ireland. 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 521, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Just a quick reminder, we get a lot of rain rolling in tomorrow. So you're going to start your day with Richmond's morning news anyway, right? 6 a.m. with Rich Herrera. Tomorrow's going to be an especially important time to be tuned in because we have so much rain that is on the way. Simple as that. So all sorts of great stuff with Rich on Richmond's morning news anyway. But as you're headed out and about tomorrow, pay extra close attention. My buddy Dr. Keith Ablo is going to be along. I'm going to ask him to put on that whole psychiatrist hat of his and say, what do you make of a guy like Jay Jones who talks about putting two bullets into the head of one of his coworkers? What do you say about a guy who says, I want to watch my coworkers' children die in their mother's arms? I mean, this is a sick, twisted puppy, I think. But we'll see what the good doctor has to say about that. I do have some other neat little clips here, including that English version of Hatikva. We'll do that before we do the Hebrew version a little bit later in the next 20 minutes or so. Do you want to hear a great exchange between Pam Bondi, the attorney general, and Dick Durbin, who is the ranking member on, I don't know, some Senate committee? Now, Bondi does make a mistake. She keeps calling him chairman. Or did she make a mistake? In other words, is it possible that Pam Bondi, who's a pretty smart person, she really is, said, huh, you know, he'd like to be chairman. You know it's going to get under his skin if I call him chairman. Oh, what the heck. I'll pretend I made a mistake. Cut number one.
I am not going to discuss any internal conversations with the White House with you, ranking member.
I noticed that. What's the secret? Why do you want to keep this secret? The American people don't know the rationale behind the deployment of National Guard troops in my state. The word is, and I think it's been confirmed by the White House, they are going to transfer Texas National Guard units to the state of Illinois. What's the rationale for that?
Yeah, Chairman, as you shut down the government, you voted to shut down the government, and you're sitting here, our law enforcement officers aren't being paid. They're out there working to protect you. I wish you loved Chicago as much as you hate President Trump. And currently, the National Guard are on the way to Chicago. If you're not going to protect your citizens, President Trump will.
been on this committee for more than 20 years. That's the kind of testimony you expect from this administration. A simple question as to whether or not they had a legal rationale for deploying National Guard troops becomes grounds for a personal attack. I think it's a legitimate question. It's my responsibility. She refuses to answer as to whether she had any conversation with the White House about deploying national troops to my state.
Your city has a murder rate 5 times higher than New York's. 571 homicides last year. If you were serious about protecting your people, you would be asking this administration for help. You're saying that we're coming into your state and your city. We're there to help make America safe and Illinois safe, whether or not you want to.
Wow. She owned him. It was a thing of beauty, wasn't it? Dr. Keith Abloh joins us just a couple of moments from now. It's 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Six, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday, and it is October the 7th, 2025. Two years to the day that Hamas started a war with Israel. Well, let me phrase that. Started their latest war with Israel. Came in, slaughtered innocent people. That's what terrorists do. And 2 years later, Hamas could very well be rewarded, right? I mean, that's where we are right now. I've told you this before, and I just want to say this again before we chat with Dr. Keith Abloh in a moment, but the world loves the dead Jews, right? 2 years ago, the whole world was like, aw, those poor Jews. Those poor Jews. Then those Jews fight back. Now, all of a sudden, the anti-Semites come out. Now, all of a sudden, that before, prior, hidden anti-Semitism that had been hidden, all of a sudden it comes out. And that's where we are today. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Now, with that, let me bring in my friend Dr. Keith Abloh, because I want him to analyze a couple of things, take a look at a couple of things, including this Jay Jones situation, which is just absolutely, positively despicable. What's up, Doc? Good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Somber day, but thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, yours is a voice that needs to be heard on happy days, to be sure, but also on days like this where we're dealing with some pretty heavy stuff. I want you, if you don't mind, I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but I know you'll be up to it. We've got this guy here in Virginia, a guy by the name of Jay Jones, wants to be Attorney General, and he has fantasized, in his words, not mine, about putting two bullets into the head of one of his co-workers. He has fantasized about having that co-worker's children die in front of their mother. What do you make of somebody like that?
Well, you know, in psychiatry, psychology, or life coaching, where there's smoke, there's sometimes fire. And it obviously, if nothing else, it shows incredibly poor judgment and a very bizarre mind. We're not talking about somebody who's writing a novel. We're talking about someone who's commenting on a real person who obviously lacks any kind of insight, any kind of self-restraint, and clearly, to me, is willing to terrify other people. The question is, you know, where's the line for this person? But beyond that, the line clearly isn't shy of invoking the notion of terror. You want to have her children watch her die in front of them? What a bizarre, grotesque, hyperbolic statement to make. And anybody who isn't willing to say, I'm cutting ties with this guy, I don't wish him death, I wish him healing, but he can't possibly be our Attorney General.
Right. So he is sort
only
of,
in America.
Exactly. But what do you then say about the co-workers? Well, the people supporting him, right? Is there not some lack of basic decency for in this case, it's Democrats to just say, no, you got to go away.
Well, there's a lack of basic decency. There's a lack of grounding in reality. This notion that people probably don't mean what they say, that's all wrong-minded. Very often they do mean what they say.
Yep.
The idea that somehow conservatives and people who do have their feet grounded in reality deserve to die for that is popular now.
Right.
And what you see are those who are standing by this person saying essentially, well, we're very angry. And maybe death is reasonable for our opponents. But we knew they were saying that, and we knew they were doing that, and we've seen the horror involved in that. This guy is a proponent of absolutism and of literally going to war and killing your opponents. I mean, it's not that he's not saying it as a joke. This is in his mind that would be perhaps justified. And that's terrorizing someone.
Yep. Is it, God, how do we even phrase this, Keith? Can somebody who says that sort of stuff recover? Because it just seems to me, if you are saying that, there's something about specificity, right? If you're dealing with somebody who says, I want to kill somebody, and you say, oh, or I want to kill myself, okay. Do you have a plan? Do you have a means? Oh, I'm going to get a nuclear weapon and blow up the world, right? You go, he's not an immediate threat. But somebody who's thought it through and said, yep, gun, not one bullet, two bullets, here's the location, that's an immediate threat. Can that person get better?
Well, I'd like to believe anyone can get better,
okay.
Right? But because in some ways it's on us. How
right.
empathetic can you be? What kind of medicine can you use? How long can you hold somebody to be able to help them? You don't have to, by the way, if you're dealing with somebody who is in extreme danger, that doesn't mean that you have to release them prior to them not being dangerous. You might just not hate them and say, I'm sorry, you can't leave the building.
Yeah.
You know, you're still quite dangerous. We can't it's no different than if you were infected with a terrible virus.
Yep.
We would have you in quarantine. We don't hate you. We just have to protect the public. Now, Jay Jones is a public health nightmare.
Yeah.
He is spreading hate. He's spreading murderous thinking.
Yes.
He is a vector of destructiveness, and he is essentially a vampire. There is something wrong in the brain or mind, I would venture, of somebody who says, I would like to see, have this woman's children watch her die.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have just declared yourself the walking dead yourself. You have no empathy.
Yeah.
You have no judgment. And I'm not surprised that you are part of a cult of viral death.
Yeah.
You'd like to take the life out of others.
Yeah.
This is a progressive thing, by the way, because life is really connected to autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And one's connection to God.
Yep.
And the progressives would like to amputate that from us and put in the state in your mind, which is akin to the state running you, is very much like being not present.
That's
which
right.
is kind of like being dead.
That's exactly right, man. Always great stuff. Keith, I love you, brother. I appreciate you being here. That is Dr. Keith Ablo. I got to remind you, visit keithablo.com. Keith's involved in so much stuff, and next time he's on, I want to dive into a lot of the stuff he's doing these days. We just didn't have time today. But keithablo.com, that'll take you everywhere. keithablo.com. 544, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 550. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I wanted to share a couple of special things today, October the 7th. You know that every Friday since that brutal attack, we've ended the show by playing Hatikva. Hatikva is the Israeli national anthem, and Hatikva is Hebrew for the hope. And Jeremy found an absolutely beautiful, beautiful version. And we've stayed with that. I don't think we have any need or any desire to change that. But I've had so many people say, can you provide an English translation? And, well, long story short, I did find what I think is a pretty good English language version of Hatikva. So I wanted to share that with you. Jeremy, if you don't mind, cut number six.
People keep asking me what the lyrics of Hatikva mean, so I translated them for you.
As long as deep in our hearts the Jewish soul still yearns, and torn were the east our eyes to Zion still return. So long as breath fills our chest and dreams of peace remain, our hearts will seek the light that shines from Zion's flame. There is hope will never fade. Through loss and pain, we still keep our faith to live as one nation in our land, the land of the God of Israel, Zion and Jerusalem, to live as one people in our land, the land of the God of Israel, Zion and Jerusalem.
Wow, beautiful stuff there. Beautiful stuff. We'll get that posted, right? That everything goes up at newsradiowrba.com. You look in that Jeff Katz show section, you can find everything we put up there. I know it's been a slightly different program today. It's important, though. I keep going back to that. It's just so vitally important that everybody remember what happened on October the 7th, 2023. Please don't forget it, and please don't buy into the lies that are out there. We're getting lies from folks like Ghazala Hashmi as we speak. It's awful. It's just awful. You have leftists who grow up in this entire mindset of oppressor and oppressed, and they get to be the ones who assign those labels. And it is amazing that it is only Israel that gets tagged as an oppressor as they dare to fight back to defend their people. Think about that. The very same cowards who are now bowing down to Hamas had their lives saved by the United States of America during World War II, right? Let's remember that. Remember that if you're in a war, you fight a war. And when you are Bibi Netanyahu, and you are quite literally fighting to make sure that your people survive, you fight it with every ounce of your being. This situation in Israel has brought people in Israel together, believe it or not. I was joking with somebody the other day who's not Jewish, and they were talking about this, and I said, there's an old expression that we have, two Jews, three opinions, right? We don't agree on anything. If there's some way that we're going to disagree, oh, we'll find it. We'll totally find it. Again, two Jews, three opinions. And yet when you travel to Israel, and again, I just got back from Israel a couple of weeks ago, people on the left and people on the right are in agreement on this. This is a battle for the survival of Israel. This is a battle for the survival of the Jewish people. And it is a battle for the survival of good over evil. It is a battle for the survival of the Western world. You have Western values and you have Western beliefs and you live in the West. And if you would like to continue maintaining those beliefs and values, you'd better stand up and be willing to fight back against those who want to destroy it. Israel is the tip of the spear. It is as simple as that. All right. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., I'm hoping you'll join me as I listen to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera. Again, that kicks off at 6 a.m. Please keep my friend Germ in his prayers. He's doing double duty these days, doing a great job. I'm the only one who identifies him. I don't know what Herrera's problem is, but, you know, he's got a lot of them, so what are you going to do? Hey, the Hatikva version that we play every Friday, and we're going to share it right now, is sung, actually, by soldiers of the IDF, the Israel Defense Force. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.